Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington.
Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, we ask that today's worship be pleasing to you. May your words we hear speak to our minds and hearts, allowing us to share this great wisdom with those around us. Allow us to praise your holy name with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. May God bless this reading of God's holy word. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a children's message with Pastor Annika.
Good morning. How are you all doing? That's great, because this morning we're going to do some math. Well, I kind of already did it, but let's see what I came up with. Okay. So 1 plus 1 is 2, and 2 plus 2 is 4, and 3 plus 3 is 6, and 4 plus 4 is 8, and 5 plus 5 is 11. Okay, well, I got 4 of them right? Yeah? You guys were so quick to point out that I got that last one wrong. Yeah? That's kind of how Isaiah felt too. We read in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, that he made some mistakes and he sinned. And he was told, God, I was ruined. He was afraid of what God would think of him for sinning and making a mistake. But God said, Isaiah, your sin is taken away. Then God asked Isaiah to help him. Isaiah responded, Here I am, send me. You see, even though we make a mistake, God forgives us. He doesn't keep track of what we get wrong. He doesn't have a score sheet. He forgives us and gives us a second chance. So, if I got a second chance on my math board, and I took this, and I turned the one, into a zero, 5 plus 5 equals 10. Now am I right? Yeah. So next time we mess up, instead of pointing out the mistakes that were made by our friend, let's point out the 4 things that they got right and help them have a second chance. Do you think you could do that? Yeah. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for taking our sins away and allowing us to do better next time. Thank you for our second chance when we make a mistake. We are grateful for your grace and mercy. Please be with us this week and allow us to help someone else who made a mistake know that it's okay through you. You still love us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. What we give to God is always more than just money or our finances. It demands our whole selves. Mother Teresa once said, "It's not how much we give, but how much love we put into our giving." And now the ushers will pass the offering plates.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him who preachers here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Bow your heads. Dear Father God, as we lay before you our financial offerings with our love, we ask you to bless these gifts for the sake of your kingdom and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Won't you please join me in our prayer hymn this morning, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That of salvation, purchase of God, born in His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst at my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Loving God, we are grateful to once again have the opportunity of a new day before us. What a gift it is to have a fresh start each and every day. It can be easy to take our days for granted, but we pray that we would see new possibilities all around us. Help us to see the ways we may serve, the ways we may live vibrant lives that reflect you, the opportunity to be your hands and feet. When we see these opportunities, help us to be bold and courageous to step into these roles. Empower us to make the most of our days in you, O God. We give thanks for the gift of new people joining our church over recent weeks. It is a blessing to see the church grow, and we pray that your Spirit would infuse our work here, that we would work together to serve you and our community and to spread your love. We give thanks for a baptism this morning during second service, and we pray with thanksgiving for our friend Nicole as she takes her important step. Bless her and lead her in her life of faith. We give thanks this day for the ways that you lift up and bless your children. We give thanks for our brothers and sisters all around the world, those near and those far. We pray your blessing on people who live like us, who have much in common with us, but we also pray your blessing on people who are very different from us. We know that all people are your children, and we give you thanks for the rich and diverse world of humanity. How beautiful is the diversity of the human race. Bless all your people, O God. We hear the words of Isaiah today, confessing his shortcomings, seeing his faults, and crying out at his inadequacy. We are amazed to see that after he is purified, he is immediately called by God and responds with a sincere voice of willingness and dedication to serve. We confess that we are challenged to accept or even recognize your callings, often being too closed off to discern your calling. Open our spirits to the ways that you call, and may we too answer, "Here I am, Lord, send me." We pray today for any in need of your healing or blessing. Bless those in pain, those who are sick, those who mourn. Strengthen those who are weak. Accompany the lonely and heal the sick. Thank you for meeting us in our despair and in our need. We pray humbly in the name of your Son, who we worship today. We give thanks for all that he is in our lives, our shepherd, our grace giver, our healer. We lift up our voices to pray together the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, 'Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed.
Sometimes at night, when your head hits the pillow, you are out in no less than 2.5 seconds. After all the busyness and the business of the day, the work and the phone calls, the emails and the meetings, the running of the children and grandchildren around town like you are a professional taxi driver, the making of the meals, making sure everyone is fed and where they're supposed to be, and no one is going to bed hungry. Sometimes in the midst of all that we have to do, very often once we sit down on the chair, on the sofa, we immediately turn into low power mode. And then as soon as our head hits the pillow, it is over. We are powered off then and there in that moment. We are done for the day, and not even an atomic bomb can wake us up because we are so worn out and tired. And when this happens, some of us have been known to fall asleep in our food, in the middle of conversations, in the middle of TV shows. That's just what I've heard. I've never experienced that in my own life, but that's what I've heard that happens to some people when they are tired. And so on those days, in those nights, all we do is sleep. There's no tossing, no turning, no rolling over, no moving whatsoever. We don't even have any dreams or thoughts whatsoever. We wake up in the morning refreshed, and it feels like we just fell asleep because we were out like a light when our head hit the pillow. But then there are other days, of course, other days that happen to all of us when all we do is toss and turn, and we could not find sleep if it was standing at the door in front of us. We can watch the hours and the minutes race by. Our mind plays tricks on us. Nothing at all can come upon us that will give us rest. Not even counting sheep or dogs or chicken or cats or goats. Nothing at all can make us fall asleep. And on those lights, at least for me, whenever we do fall asleep, we have the craziest of dreams. There are dreams that have happened of things that happened in the past and dreams of weird scenarios that may someday come true. When I was a kid, I used to be woken up by dreams that I was diving for a fly ball in center field at Busch Stadium playing for the St. Louis Cardinals. I'd be diving for some kind of line drive, and I would hit the ground, and then suddenly I would jump and wake myself up in the bed. Sometimes our dreams are so nuts and so memorable that we wake up and we've got stories to tell our families. So much detail, like it's like we're in some kind of science fiction movie. Flying things and winged beasts and visions and songs. Sometimes when we wake up from these restless nights, we are more tired than we were when we went to bed. And so for me, it's like that in the scripture that we heard today from Isaiah. What we have is from the prophet Isaiah, and it is this odd, and it's this funky, and it is this weird vision of God speaking to Isaiah and calling him to go speak a word for the Lord, to go and testify and prophesy. You see, back in the days of Isaiah, Israel was having all kinds of problems. They had turned away from God. They had started worshiping other gods. They were doing whatever they wanted instead of doing what God wanted them to do. Worship had become stale, and they were simply just going through the motions. They had become unfaithful and unjust, God said. And so God needed someone to go and speak a word to Israel to tell them to straighten up or fly right. And so the good news is that Isaiah has been called, or maybe not so good news in his respect. Isaiah was called and chosen to go and testify on God's behalf. And so what we hear in Isaiah 6 is this vision and this dream of his call story. And from our end of the story, it sounds like maybe Isaiah had too much to eat right before bedtime, before he laid down, because it is a strange and weird vision that he has. He says that he sees the Lord sitting on this throne that is high and that is lofty, and the hem of the Lord's robe filled the whole entire temple. I mean, it sounds like the longest wedding dress train you could ever even imagine. It filled the whole place. And along with this were these seraphs, these like winged beasts that he saw. They were flying all over the place, and they were crying out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy, the whole earth is filled with God's glory." Not just Israel, not just their land, not just their country, but the seraphs were saying, "The whole earth is full of the glory of God." And so when this happens in the dream, the whole temple is filled with smoke. Now, as a side note, I thought about trying to reenact that little part of being the whole place being filled with smoke. I thought about reenacting that here in church today. I thought we might bring in some smoke machines, and we might introduce the choir and the deacons and somebody like some kind of football team running out of the tunnel at Kinnick Stadium or someplace. Here comes the choir director coming down the center aisle with the smoke filling the place. Well, we might reenact that, but you get the idea. And from this smoke-filled temple, Isaiah says, "Woe is me, I am not worthy. Surely you are joking, God. I'm not worthy of this praise." But in this dream, this winged beast comes down and touches his mouth with some hot coal and cleanses him. And the Lord says, "Who will go for me? Who will speak a word on my behalf?" And crazy enough, Isaiah says, "Here I am. Send me." I mean, what a dream, right? I mean, what a crazy, life-changing, odd, funky situation. If that happened to us, we would probably be having some kind of mix of telling people you're never going to believe what happened, and also wanting to keep it to ourselves because they're never going to believe what has just happened. It is powerful and it's life-changing for Isaiah. And don't you love his reaction? He says yes right away. It's not like, give me 10 minutes. Let me talk to my family. Let me kind of mull it over. He says yes immediately right away. Now I know what you're thinking, because I'm thinking the same thing too. We may read about Isaiah's call and it seems amazing and we're so glad that it happened to him, but it seems like it's for him and only him, because you've never had a vision or a dream like this. I mean, I've never had a vision or a dream like this. Most of my dreams include fly balls at Busch Stadium or long putts for birdie on the golf course. That's mostly where my dreams resolved. This vision and this dream seems totally unrelatable to us. But the good news is that I'm here to tell you that it does make sense. And it is relatable for our life. I'm here to tell you the good news that we all are called to serve and witness and testify to the glory of God for all of God's creation. You see, it's like this. When I was on my way to becoming an ordained minister, after 4 years of college and near the end of 4 years of seminary, I got to meet with our commission on ministry for our region in the Mid-America region in Missouri. And so going to this commission, they asked me all kinds of questions about ministry and like the church I was working in and what my studies in school were like. And then near the end, they made me, I was required to take this psychological evaluation. I don't know if it was for everybody, but they made me take a psychological evaluation. And so in this was like 400 multiple choice questions. And there were questions about sleep patterns and my work habits and what I do for fun and how many friends I have. But that wasn't all. I mean, there were questions about relationships, and then there were questions about asking if I hear voices and if I see visions. And then there was one question I will never forget. The test asked me if I was an agent of God. And I'm almost positive that the question was actually phrased, am I a secret agent of God? Which would have been amazing if they asked me that question. I can't quite remember, but for sure they wanted to know if I was some kind of agent of God. And in the way that this was worded in these 400 questions, some of the questions kept coming back around again. What is your sleep like? What are your dreams like? How many friends do you have? What are your relationships like? Are you an agent of God? It's been like 20-something years since I answered that question, and I guess I passed the test because I was ordained and I'm here now, but I'm thinking that I put yes. I mean, maybe I put maybe, but if I had to answer that question today, I think I would definitely put yes, that I am an agent of God. And in fact, if I was answering that test for you, I would put that you too are an agent of God. You didn't know that coming to church today, but I would answer it for you, that you too are a servant of God. I mean, aren't you so glad about that? And that's what Isaiah, his witness, is trying to teach us today, is that we all have blessings and gifts and ability that comes from only God. And we have a good word to share. And Isaiah's testimony is witness for us that when God calls, we get to say, here I am, send me. I mean, that's the good news and the challenge for us. And so when this call comes, I know what you're thinking. I mean, you're thinking that you've messed up too many times in life, that you are not prepared to go and serve and share a good word for God. You have too many doubts and too many downfalls. If you think that's the case, you are wrong. I mean, we heard Isaiah's first words were saying that I'm not worthy to go. I mean, that's the common refrain all throughout the Bible. Whenever Moses was called by God, the first thing he did was make up excuses. He had a stuttering problem, he said. Whenever God called Jonah, he ran the other way and found himself in the sea. And Peter was even called by Jesus, and he said yes, but then he denied Jesus 3 times. If we think we have to have our life together first to go and be a witness to God, that excuse isn't going to work. Along with that, if we usually only sleep like a baby and we never have any odd dreams and we never have any voices from God waking up us in the middle of the night, and so because of that, we're never called to serve and follow God, that excuse doesn't work either. Because many times, at least for me, many times, God calls to us not standing in the middle of the street at Roosevelt and Agency yelling at us to go someplace, but God speaks to us in the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. Very often, it's God's conscience speaking inside of our heart. It's a ticking inside of us that we can't seem to let go. And so we're called to stop and to listen for that voice and realize that God calls us. Maybe God calls us to a new kind of life. Maybe God calls us to reach out in love to someone who needs love in their life. Maybe it's to offer more grace and more care and forgiveness. Maybe it's even God calling us to realize that God is bigger and stronger and more powerful than we could ever even imagine in life. That the way that we imagine of God is not big enough because God is so huge. Whatever it is, God speaks to us. And God calls all of us. And our response is to simply say, use me. Here I am, Lord. Let me be your servant and use me as you see fit. That call comes and we simply get to say yes. And God will lead us in the right path. Amen.
God is calling us now to come to his table. He offers that invitation every week. So as we prepare to come to the table, won't you please join me in our communion hymn, Seed Scattered and Sown.
Seed scattered and sown, we gathered and sharing of our Lord. Is not the cup we bless the blood of Christ outpoured? Seed scattered and sown, weed gathered and grown, one broken and shared as one, which falls on rock will wither and will die. The seed within good ground will flower and have life. Seed scattered and sown, weed gathered and grown, bread broken and shared as one, the living bread of God, vine, fruit of the land, wine, work of our hands, one cup that is shared by all, the living cup, the living bread of God. Gathered and was grown, so may the church. church of God be gathered into one. Seeds scattered and sown, wheat gathered and grown, bread broken and shared as one, the living bread. Work of art.